Oh, yeah, with the weather.
Because they were calling for snow and ice in Georgia.
I went to college in South Carolina. This elementary school was closed for 2 days or 2 weeks when there was snow.
Come on, can I sign these afterwards?
Yeah. I'll get them ready for you.
Mike, we all set now with the recording? Okay, great. Okay, the January 17th, 2024 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. I'll do a roll call here. Joe Nocera.
Here.
Welcome, Joe.
Thank you.
Tom DiDonatis.
Here.
Mike Angelo.
Here.
Bill Tefuto.
Here.
And Steve Seidel. That's me. I'm here as well. So we're all present and accounted for. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the December 20th, 2023 meeting?
So moved.
Thank you, Mike. I'll second that. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And Joe, I guess you'll abstain because you were not at that meeting as being a new member of this starting today. Okay. First order of business is reorganization of the board. So I'll entertain any nominations for chair, vice chair, and then secretary.
I'll make a nomination or a motion to have you stay on as chair, Steve.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mike.
Should we just do the whole slate?
I'm willing to do that. We can do that.
Yeah, let's do the whole slate.
Yeah, I was going to nominate Tom DiDonatis as vice chair. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Bill. How about secretary? We have a nomination for secretary.
I'll nominate Mike Angelo.
Okay, I'll second that. You willing to do that, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any discussion? All right, all in favor of that slate of candidates?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so done with that item. All right, appreciate the vote of confidence, everyone. Okay, we have two items of old business today. First is adoption of decision in the case of Hummelstown Investors, LLC, case number 2023-15. I will read the substantive part of the order. Number one, the applicant's request for a special exception pursuant to section 225-502.10 regarding the sign area of the proposed sign is granted. The applicant may install the proposed signs as follows. A, a freestanding sign with a sign area of 31.25 square feet. B, a wall sign with the Taco Bell logo on the front facade with a sign area of 13.6 square feet. C, a wall sign with the words Taco Bell on the awning with a sign area of 5.1 square feet. D, a wall sign with the Taco Bell logo with a sign area of 13.6 square feet and the words Taco Bell with a sign area of 10.8 square feet each on two sides of the tower. The relief grant, number two, the relief granted herein is strictly contingent on the freestanding sign being moved out of the site distance triangle. The applicant, number three, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401.4.F.1 point B, point 3, point A. Regarding the number of signs per street, frontage is moot as a result of the special exception being granted. Number 4, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401 point F, point, I'm sorry, point 4, point F, point B, point 1, table 36, special note number 2, regarding the location of a wall sign is granted. The applicant may install the wall signs above the roof eave. Okay, so do I have a motion to adopt that order as I just read?
I'll make a motion to adopt.
Thank you, Tom. I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And again, Joe, you'll be abstaining until next meeting. Okay. So that motion carries. Second item of old business is adoption of a decision in the case of the Hershey Company, case number 2023-18. Again, I will read the substantive part of that proposed order. Number 1, the applicant's request for a special exception pursuant to section 225-502.10 regarding the sign area of the proposed sign is granted. The applicant may install the proposed signs as follows. A, an additional ground sign, 3 total, along Reese Avenue, with the new ground sign having face dimensions of 4.48 feet vertical and 7.98 feet horizontal, with an overall height of 5.5 feet and a sign area that is 35.75 square feet. And B, a new wall sign on the west side of the process tower with a sign area of 212.31 square feet. C, a new wall sign on the south side of the process tower with a sign area of 110.04 square feet. And D, a new wall sign on the east side of the process tower with a sign area of 212.31 square feet. Do I have a motion to adopt that order?
So moved.
Thank you, Bill.
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and again, noting that Joe is abstaining. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. All right, we have 3 items of new business today. Just to keep things moving along, I'll just ask all the applicants, when your case is called, if you would please, anyone that's going to testify for the applicant, if you would come up to the podium, please make sure you're speaking into the microphone so that our court reporter can hear what you're saying, as well as the board, as well as our township staff who prepares the minutes for the meeting. And we'll swear in everyone for that case right up front. And you can assume that we have seen your application and that we've reviewed that, but you still need to kind of give us a summary of what you're proposing to do, as well as making sure you're hitting the key points as far as the requirements for whether it's a variance or a special exception, the criteria that you need to meet to be granted that. So you need to make sure you hit those points in summary. Okay. So the first case is a hearing in the case of Hockersville LLC, case number 2023-19. And when you come up to the podium, if you'd please give your name and either your address or your affiliation, and the court reporter will swear you in.
Good evening. My name is Michael Bruce. I'm a professional civil engineer representing Hockersville LLC. I'm also the manager of Hockersville LLC.
Could you spell your last name, please?
Excuse me?
Could you spell your last name, please?
Bruce, B-R-U-C-E.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I do. Well, thank you for your time tonight. Again, Michael Bruce, professional engineer representing Hockersville LLC. The applicant, the petitioner, we have the land under agreement with the current landowner. As you can see in the location map, the property is located on the corner, maybe not in this location map, but on other things we've submitted, located on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Hawkersville Road, just south, there's a good one, just south of Chocolate Avenue. Property is currently undeveloped. There is a small bit of impervious on 3rd Avenue right there. Thanks. There's also an alley to the side of the property here. Our proposal is to construct a four-unit, let me back up. It's in the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District Compact Development Overlay. Our proposal is to build a four-unit townhouse development on the property. That would be allowable through the conditional use process. If we get through tonight, we'll make that application. There's two concepts that were submitted. This is concept one, showing the four units accessed with driveways directly off 3rd Avenue. The other concept, concept four, shows the alley being used. The buildings are essentially identical otherwise, and I believe they're actually in the same place. In the same place on the site between concepts one and two. It's really just they're flipped around, so they face either northwest or they face southeast. That's our proposal. We're here tonight because there are certain aspects of the ordinance that are inflicting undue and unnecessary hardships of us. It's okay with the chairman. I can summarize those five requests, and maybe we could just chat about them later. The first request, if you can go back to sheet one of three, please. It's actually not specific to our proposal at all. It's specific to any proposal of this one, of the combined tract. As you can see here, this is where you'd measure minimum lot depth on the site. The minimum lot depth here is 100 feet. That measurement, because of the tract's unique shape and two frontages, as well as the alley frontage, we have this jog. When you measure to this interior point, you have less than 100 feet, 70.1 feet. Relief from this is necessary for any reasonable development of the tract, not only four units, but any development if we're going to combine the two lots. So that's the first request. The second and third requests concern the alley. Now, as I mentioned, it's a corner lot. The definition of a corner lot is it has two fronts and the rest are sides. There's no rear. The townhouse units in the zoning district shall be accessed by a rear alley if one is present. Otherwise, we don't need to use a rear alley. It's our belief we don't have a rear alley. We have a side alley. However, as one may argue, in the spirit of the ordinance, we do have a rear alley. Maybe we're required to use it. We're asking for relief not to use it if it doesn't prove necessary in conditional use in the subdivision and land development process. Third request goes hand in hand with that. If we end up being required to use the alley, or if we choose to use the alley, it's 16 feet wide. We're at the end of the alley. We have no ability to widen it to the required minimum width for two-way driveways of 24 feet. Therefore, we would also need relief, if we wanted to use the alley, to use a 16-foot wide common driveway. Can you please go to the second concept? Thank you. Unit one would be accessed more or less right off the alley. Units two, three, and four would be accessed off this 16-foot wide common driveway. We believe the third request would encompass both the 16-foot wide alley and the 16-foot wide common driveway. We felt it was prudent to have the width of this common driveway match the width of the alley, especially because nobody else would be using it. The fourth and fifth requests concern yards, and the fourth request is really only pertinent if in this concept. In this concept, the buildings would face southeast. This would be a garage door, one, two, three, and four. Front doors would be next to them. The rear of the buildings would actually be on the front yard along 3rd Avenue. The ordinance specifically allows egress doors and windows to be located within yards. However, it's not clear, it's not specific in that landings and stairs for such doors are also allowable in the yard. It's our standard to install these doors in the rear of our units, but you need a way to get out of them. So we are looking for relief to specifically allow landings and stairs within the front yard, up to 6 feet. The fifth request is pertinent to both concept plans. It's for a yard along Hawkersville Road. Hawkersville Road, according to township staff, has a substandard right-of-way. It's 40 feet wide. The subdivision land development ordinance would seem to indicate 65 feet is desired. We may be responsible for half of that, 12 and a half feet. If we do have to dedicate 12 and a half feet of right-of-way through that process, our 20-foot front yard essentially becomes 32 and a half foot front yard. This is particularly onerous and impossible to develop the site in conformance with the ordinance with such a deep front yard. Those are our five requests. I'll presuppose one question. Which concept do we prefer, do I prefer? They both have their advantages. I believe concept one is advantageous at this point. For a practical perspective, it allows our residents to access their mailboxes easier. They presumably have Third Avenue addresses at this point. Trash removal would be easier. There's no common driveway for a future homeowners association to maintain. They may not have any homeowners association in this case, as each unit owner could be responsible for their own driveways. This concept has moderately less impervious surfaces. Both concepts are within the requirement, under the required maximum and over the required minimum vegetative cover. This concept seems to provide a much more usable area of vegetative cover for the residents, while the other plan, about the same, maybe a little less vegetative cover, however, it's split between the perimeter. That's on the other concept two. So we think we prefer this plan at this point. If that question was going to be asked, hopefully I answered it. With that said, the narrative and the applications we submitted in December outlines the five findings that you need to make under the ordinance and under the MPC. If ever there was a case to grant relief from an ordinance, this is it. We have a uniquely shaped track. We have a PennDOT right-of-way that's not up to the township's standard. We have an alley that cannot be widened. It seems like, to me, and I'm biased, cut and dry case for why the zoning hearing board exists. But I'm happy to answer any questions or comments that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. With the first variance, with the minimum lot depth, I'm just curious if you have four units, if you. Hypothetically, if that fourth unit was cleaved off at the very end, would you still need a variance, or would you meet that 100-foot minimum depth?
It's my understanding I can't even combine the two lots without a relief. The result, the lot one, if you can go back to sheet one, please. Lot one is a non-conforming lot. It is 70.1, not this one, the next one, please. Lot one is 70.1 feet from there to there. It is a non-conforming lot. Now, there are provisions in the ordinance to develop this lot, maybe, if they have been described separately for however many years. But in that case, we have this arbitrary lot line between them with the resultant yards. It forecloses any opportunity for reasonable development. So it's not the townhouse use, it's any development that combines these two lots would require this relief.
So you're saying that you'd still be here asking for that? You don't know what that number would be if you were to remove one of the townhouses and had three townhouses instead of four, or homes, or whatever they're going to be.
Yeah, I need this. As far as I understand your ordinance, the variance is required for any development that combines these two lots into one lot. Because there's not 100 feet here. I can't even give this property to the neighbor, because now their lot becomes non-compliant because of this jog.
Mike, if I can, I'm going to ask David to please weigh in on this. So David, I'm a little confused on this point, so maybe you can bring some clarity as to what your understanding is in that. I mean, we've had other irregular shaped lots before us, and the fact that the rest of this lot, it meets the depth requirement. Can you talk to that a little bit as to what staff's interpretation
Yes. is? So I agree with what the applicant has stated, that in order to develop this lot in any meaningful way, this is a variance that we would like to see addressed. As it stands, this lot is an existing non-conforming lot because it is only 70 feet deep at that point. You get into the thick of the weeds when you start asking, what if you only develop the part that is deeper than 70 feet?
Right.
That's where it becomes zoning officer determination. In this case, it just makes sense to get the variance because it takes a non-conforming lot and brings it into conformance through variance.
Dave, thanks for that explanation, but when combining lots to do what you just described, does the discretion lie in, again, what Mike was saying, three units versus four? You've got the four in the original 70-foot piece of the lot, and then you've got other three.
No, it doesn't matter where on the lot is developed. It's the fact that it's 70 feet as compared to the 100 required by the ordinance.
Even combined?
Even combined.
And right now, these are two separate parcels?
Yes, they are the latest deed, and we don't own the property yet, but the latest deed into the current landowner, they list both parcels, but they do list them separately.
One deed, but two parcels?
Yeah.
Okay. And as far as these are going to be townhouse units, and is this going to be set up as a condominium association, or is this, or are you going to have deeded property to each unit?
I don't know yet.
Okay, I think that's probably relevant here, though.
I would expect it to be one lot, but we haven't explored that yet.
Okay, so you showed us two alternatives. Have you looked at an alternative? I got to say, I think it's kind of shoehorning in there on that piece that is the 70 feet depth that you're talking about. Do you look at a different orientation of maybe deeper, narrower but deeper units that fall within the deeper section of the property, and potentially using that area where you're showing, I think, unit number one as some of your stormwater management?
Well, that unit one's on the high side of the site. We'd expect the stormwater to be either under that common driveway shown in the other plan, or somewhere in this area, underground or above ground, depending on when we get into the minutia in the saldo process. Three-unit project here makes no sense for us. The density allows eight units per acre. We have over a half an acre. Then the other allowable uses, which we're not proposing, are multifamily, 25 units per acre, and a variety of commercial uses. This project makes sense for us and for everybody. It's most fitting with the neighborhood. It is not the most number of dwelling units allowed on the site. It's in a very developed area, and we think this makes sense for everybody.
Excuse me, Dave, can you verify, were there homes on the two separate parcels in history?
Yes, the applicant did include that with his application, so it is easy just to use their application. You can see that there were two homes originally on the separate lots.
So the frontage, they're using the alley, I guess it is. I forget the name of it. They couldn't use Hockersville as their frontage and meet the depth requirements that way without needing variance. I know it changed the density allowance, but...
No, I'm sorry, you're asking me or Dave?
Dave, okay, actually.
I'm sorry, what's the question?
So if you classified Hockersville as your frontage, as if for the front yard, you meet the width and depth requirement by current zoning, right, for two?
Our ordinance is corner properties have two fronts. So that's where the depth and width comes in, is no matter what, you're going to need the depth both ways from both frontages.
See, I'm having trouble with that, David, because we have hundreds of lots in the Hershey mixed-use area that don't have 100 feet in both directions from both frontages. Right? I mean, that's true all throughout. the in-town area. That would mean every corner lot in the township, or at least in the Hershey mixed use, would need a variance from us.
So lot minimum width is defined as the minimum horizontal distance between side lot lines measured at the minimum required front yard line and the street right-of-way line.
Lot depth, excuse me, not lot width.
Oh, I'm sorry, lot depth. The minimum lot horizontal length of the shallowest lot dimension perpendicular to the street right-of-way line. So it's by definition, and when you then add the corner lot definition, which a lot which abuts two intersecting streets, corner lots shall have a front yard area adjacent to each street frontage, not including alleys, with the remaining yards being considered side yards. So by definition, I guess you can say that, yes, there are non-conforming lots as far as corner properties go.
So every lot in town, I'm not trying to be contradictory, but every lot in town that's 75 by 150, under that application on the 150-foot side, it wouldn't be conforming because it doesn't have 100 feet in depth.
Right. All existing non-conformities. All existing non-conformities.
Yeah, but those properties that have been redeveloped, that the dimensions that Tom just mentioned, have not been before this board
didn't
in the
need
last
variances.
5 years. They've not been before this board for a variance. Doesn't make sense. I think we need to get to the bottom of that here first before we can kind of figure out where we go with this. I mean, if neither dimension from neither street was 100 feet, then that's an issue. And that would clearly, I think, require a variance. But Megan, I don't know if you want to weigh in on this at all. Yeah. But I'm not
For
sure.
example, recent history, there was a house torn down and rebuilt at the corner of Maple and Linden. The lot's, I believe, 80 feet by 150 feet. That wouldn't have met the standards by what you're telling us today, Dave, right? Without a variance.
There's dozens of examples, yeah. Tom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I may. There is a provision in the ordinance to allow lot one to be developed without relief. The problem is we're combining the two lots in order to provide for any reasonable use of the property. The density, the allowable density is 1/8 of a unit per acre, 8 units per acre. The property combined has over 4/8.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're helping your argument, though, okay? Because one of the conditions you need to meet is that you did not create the hardship.
I didn't create.
If you combine the lots, you could argue that you're creating the hardship, well, as opposed to developing them as the two separate tracts.
But there's no reasonable use of what I'm trying to get at is there's no way to use lot one in a reasonable manner because there are not
70 feet, and it's got a frontage on 3rd Avenue. So that still,
well, yeah. if this interpretation is correct, which I'm questioning, yeah. Because this would apply to many, many properties that have been redeveloped in recent years and have not come to this board for a variance.
They may have, would they have not come for expansion of an existing non-conforming use? So they didn't come at all?
No, some of them were knockdowns.
Yeah.
There's one right behind my, diagonally behind my house, plus the one Tom's talking about, and a number of others. They didn't come for a variance.
In any case, I have a different question.
Yeah, please.
We'll figure that out later.
While we sort this out.
Can you go back to concept two? So, egress. Are those going to be at grade?
No, the egress door will be at the first floor level, which is a foot or two above grade, depending on where the
unit
is.
So it's above, so it needs steps.
Yes.
And that's your main point. There's, if you're only allowed 2 foot allowable in the yard setback, it's not feasible.
Right. The ordinance allows egress windows and wells up to 2 feet.
2 feet.
But it doesn't, to me, the landings and stairs to use such doors and windows are also allowable, but we're already here for the other requests, and it, we felt it made sense to have you clarify the matter.
So you're just saying you're requesting a few foot more than 2 feet to make them?
Sure. Practical. Depending on the grade, you may need a landing outside.
And that's the case for concept 2, but not 1?
No, in concept 1, the
they're on the other side.
Yes. I mean, in concept 1, we could put sun decks in. We're well within our property. The front line of the building, the garage door, and the porch would be honored, you know, outside of the front yard.
Right. Another reason for concept 1 being slightly preferable.
Sure, and in the narrative, it says if you agree we need not use the alley and you're willing to grant relief to that effect, then relief 3 and 4 may not be required. But if the township supervisors and the planning commission really want us to use the alley and we do have the right to use it, then that's why we're looking to kind of cover all our bases here.
You mentioned that you didn't interpret the alley as an alley.
No, it is an alley. It's not a rear alley. The conditional use parameters in the zoning district for our desired use is driveway access shall be provided to a rear alley unless none exists. We have a corner lot. We don't have a rear.
Okay.
That's where we're coming down.
Okay. Was this, you know, do you have any information? Was this alley originally went through to Third Avenue, or do we know anything about that as to?
Yeah, I'm happy you mentioned that. I spent all day or all morning last week in Harrisburg, and then the lady there told me that I could have just done it from home and skipped the parking ticket I got. But be that as it may, the alley, according to my research and the surveyor's research of our property and neighbors, was created on an unrecorded subdivision plan from 1906. So we haven't seen the plan. After a period of time, the township would either lose its rights or relinquish its rights to open the alley as a public right-of-way. That's why it's listed as private. However, the neighbors may, including us, may have title to the center line. But anybody that is adjacent to the alley has the right to use it or improve it.
Does the township maintain the alley, David? I'm sorry, I know you're looking.
Not to my knowledge.
No, they don't.
Not to my knowledge. I don't believe it's plowed by Public Works, which is the easiest way to determine if it's maintained by the township.
Our neighbor here, it is paved and it is open. Yeah, his garage is right here, or her garage. So it is paved up to a point, and then it's not. It's all grass on our property.
I think David is still looking, but the other concept?
Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say. So the other concept is the one that you would slightly or possibly prefer. If you had to summarize the main reasons why you are 5149 that way, then what would they
be? Well, it's easier for the future residents to just get their mail and take out the trash. There's less maintenance for the condominium association. There's less impervious, so less stormwater management that would need to occur. There's less on site, and there's also none in the alley. Our calculations at this point don't include the alley, but if the alley's paved, we'd have to mitigate the stormwater runoff associated with that somehow. For a variety of reasons, we think this concept's better at this point.
And you'd need 2 less variances, correct?
Sure, yes. There is the possibility the township wants additional right-of-way on 3rd Avenue, which would foreclose this plan entirely. That's why we're asking for both, because we don't know what the supervisors and the planning commission, where they're going to come down. Okay. And we don't, I mean, it's great being here, but I don't really want to come back for this one.
I'm going to take you back a minute to my earlier question, which you didn't totally answer, and that is, did you look at, I know you talked about other alternatives for developing the property, but did you look at an alternative layout where the units, rather than being pretty much square, would be more rectangular, narrower unit, deeper unit, in order to kind of stay away from that corner that's problematic anyhow?
Short answer, yes. We've looked at all different footprints for our we have two different prototypes here. These three are the same. This one's different in order to fit it there. But it's, so we did look at it, yes. But to us, respectfully, it's not relevant. Like, we don't have the minimum lot depth. And just staying out of the jog doesn't solve the problem.
I understand that, but had you looked at that as an alternative?
Yes, and we even looked at
splitting. Is there a reason you couldn't do it that way?
Well,
if this
staying out of the jog?
Yeah.
That would be particularly onerous to lose that. This is a 40, to lose 40 feet of lot depth just to get to this point would be particularly onerous and likely impossible. We also looked at doing two buildings of two. Mm-hmm. However, the density for such a use is 7 units per acre, which is less than 4 units. We don't have 4/7 of an acre. We have 4/8. So we can't even split the buildings and have two here and two here, say, without relief from the density requirements.
And your main point is, regardless, you would be here with the exact same
requests. Yes. Yes, I would be
regardless
here
of the layout.
Yes.
I think Steve is probably more from a practical standpoint. As he said, he felt like the number one was kind of wedged in there, but regardless of whether it's wedged or it's not wedged, that's really for your pro forma. But nevertheless, you would be here with the exact same application relative to variances and explaining.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Other questions from the board? Okay. All right. Well, we'll open it up for any public comment. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak regarding this application? Okay. Seeing none. So the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. Thank you for your testimony. All right, the next hearing tonight is the case of SSN Hershey LLC, case number 2023-20.
Good evening. Stace McNeil, Barley Snyder. I'm here with Mitchell Brady of Pannoni.
Sorry, what was your name?
McNeil, M-A-C-N-E-A-L. Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y.
I'm sorry, Mitchell's last name?
Brady, oh, okay. B-R-A-D-Y.
Okay. Thank you. You don't swear on the attorney.
Engineer.
Yeah, just Mr. Brady.
And we remind you to please use the microphone as much as possible when you're making your presentation.
I know that's a yes. I know it's a challenge sometimes when you're asking him questions. But as Valerie offered, she has a second microphone. If that helps with your back and forth questions.
Let's see how we do sharing here, and if it is a problem, please just let us know. So good evening. My name is Stacy McNeil. I'm an attorney with Barley Snyder. I represent the applicant. I appreciate your time with consideration of this application this evening. We do have an extensive packet of information that was provided that we're going to walk through with the board this evening. I do also have just a few additional exhibits that if the board is okay with the board, I'm going to hand those out in advance, and then you'll have them ready.
Have one.
Three. step up here nice and close. I just start by telling the board who you are and your involvement with this project, please.
My name is Mitchell Brady. I am an engineer with Pannoni & Associates. I am the engineer on this project. Pretty much that's where it ends there to this point.
Okay, and you're familiar with the properties that are the subject of this application?
Yes.
And what zoning district are these properties located in?
General commercial.
And is this also an overlay zoning district?
Yes, it is. It is in the West Master Plan, but because of its size, there's no additional requirements.
Okay. Generally, where are these properties located?
Sipes Avenue and West Chocolate.
And do you have any personal knowledge of this area of the township?
Yes. I actually grew up just next over here in Lower Paxton Township. Frequent this area quite often.
So I'm showing you what I've marked as applicant's exhibit one. This is just an aerial photograph of the area. Generally describe the neighborhood of this property for the board.
So the property itself is an existing hotel. And then behind the property is residential.
Is there other commercial in the vicinity of this property?
Yes, equal to the frontage.
In general, in the neighborhood, are there significant other commercial businesses already existing in this area?
Yes, on both sides and across the street.
Okay. I'd like to go to the portion of the application that is the existing conditions plan. That should be the first page of the there we go. All right, so you mentioned that the property is currently improved with a hotel. Actually, property currently consists of two separate lots, is that right?
Yes.
And can you sorry, I am a little disorganized tonight for some reason. I have a laser pointer here that I've lost. Can you show the board, please, where the two lots are in question? Oh, yeah, turn it on.
Yep. So this is lot one, and then lot two is this piece right here.
So how is lot one currently improved?
It is an existing hotel.
And do you know how many rooms that hotel has?
120.
How many, what is the size of the two lots?
So lot one here is 102,000 roughly, and then lot two is 7,700.
And that's square feet?
Yes.
Okay. And is the intent, if the relief is granted, to combine lots one and two to allow kind of a redevelopment of a portion of this site?
Yes.
And if these two lots were combined, what would be the total area of the two lots?
The combined lots in a net would be 110,019 square feet, and then 112,321 in gross.
Okay. In addition to the 120-room hotel, we can see there's parking and access drives on site. How many parking spaces are on site?
There is an existing 114.
And how is the property currently accessed?
It is accessed through Sipe Avenue. Right here is the existing drive.
And are there any other amenities or structures or features that you want to point out on the existing conditions plan?
There is a pool here and also amenities that go along with the pool.
Okay. Now, do you know when this hotel was constructed?
It is my understanding 1970 about.
Probably late 70s, mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and does this property currently contain any dimensional nonconformities?
Yes.
Multiple ones, correct?
Yes, okay. Yes, multiple. There's a whole list.
Let's walk through those. So first of all, is it nonconforming as to required parking?
Yes, it is substandard.
Okay, and so what would the parking be that would be required for just the hotel versus the 114 spaces currently provided?
It would be 120 spaces required.
So it's deficient currently by about 6 spaces.
Correct.
And do you believe at some point previously that it had even less parking than what it currently has?
Yes, because it was restriped at one point to gain additional spaces.
Does this property currently exceed the maximum impervious coverage percentage?
Yes.
And what is that maximum allowable percentage in the zoning district?
It is 60%.
And what is the current maximum impervious coverage of the site?
Lot 1.
Yep. Well, lot, yes.
Yeah, lot one. Lot 1 is 79%.
Okay. And does lot 1 also, is it then also nonconforming as to minimum vegetative coverage?
It is.
And what is the required minimum vegetative coverage?
30%.
And what is the minimum vegetative coverage on the property currently?
21%.
Okay. Are there any other existing nonconformities on the property?
Yes.
And what are other existing nonconformities?
There is parking within the front setback here.
Is there parking within some of the other setbacks as well?
Yes.
Can you just point those out for the board?
Here, along the front edge, and then along this side lot here.
Is it also within the setback along kind of the rear?
Yes.
Okay. So there's parking in basically all of the setbacks around the site. Do the drive aisles meet the current ordinance requirements for drive aisles?
No, they do not.
Can you just generally describe the current traffic circulation in the site and what we have for drive aisles on the site?
So you would enter the site along SIPE here, and then you would circulate in the front in a one-way around the site and then exit in the same way you entered.
Okay. And is there really any interior parking lot landscaping?
No, there is not.
So it's nonconforming in that regard as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Showing you what we've marked as applicants' exhibits 2 and 3. There are just some photographs of the property in question from a street view. And again, with your familiarity of the area, are these accurate depictions of the current conditions of the property?
Yes.
Okay. And applicants exhibit 3, I'm sorry, that was 2A and 2B. Applicants exhibit 3 is then just another aerial of the site. Again, that shows the current conditions of the property.
Correct.
Okay. So generally describe for the board, what is the intended project for lot 1 and 2 combined?
The intended project is to do a lot consolidation and a potential retail of 4,500 square foot and then parking for that retail area.
And why is this being pursued for this property in these two lots?
Because currently it is a lot that they would like to develop.
So let's focus on lot 2. What size did you say lot 2 was?
Lot 2 was 100,000 and some change.
No, lot 2.
Oh, lot 2, I'm sorry. Lot 2 is 7,700 square foot.
In your experience, is 7,700 square feet a reasonable size to develop for commercial purposes?
No.
So in order for lot 2 to be developed for commercial purposes consistent with the zoning ordinance, is it your opinion that it would need to be combined with an adjacent property such as lot 1?
Absolutely.
And then does that combination allow you to kind of do this combined redevelopment in the corner of the property?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd like to show you in the packet, I believe it's the 2 pages back in the packet, we have this site plan overlaid, 3 pages back, overlaid on an aerial photograph that shows the sorry Dave, if you can scroll down just to this one here. Thank you. that shows kind of where you're making the changes, the proposed redevelopment as it relates to the existing conditions of the property. And using this aerial, can you kind of point out to the board the changes that are proposed for the property?
So the changes will be as follows: this area here, along with a new access drive to get to the retail.
And are there also some minor changes in term closer to the hotel in terms of some parking lots and the access drive connection?
To help to actually get to our required parking, we'll be modifying this parking area here, here, and here, mm-hmm. along with here as well, and then also to get to more favorable minimum vegetated cover, we'll be making this a vegetated area here and then here as well.
So with this redevelopment, the property, which currently only has access onto Sipe Avenue, will now also have a second access onto Lucy.
Yes.
Do you believe that will be favorable in terms of just overall access to the property and traffic circulation?
Yes, you'll be able to enter on one side, exit on the other. For the retail site, it would be a full width, full access both directions.
Now, in order to do this redevelopment, even with the addition of this small lot two, there are some dimensional variances that are required.
Yes.
I'd like to focus first, if we could, on the drive aisles. And I'm sorry, Dave, yep. That one's fine. That one's fine. Thank you. Perfect. Thanks. So using this in particular, and I think these shaded areas are very helpful, can you describe specifically where the relief is that we're requesting as relates to the width of drive aisles?
So currently the site is substandard at about 16.75 feet around the entire site for a drive aisle width. And we would need relief in these two hatched areas here, one maintaining that existing width and the other bring it to 18 feet.
So, and why is relief requested in those particular areas?
Because we are modifying the parking in those areas.
So the drive aisles in those areas, you're not shrinking the drive aisle from what it currently is?
No.
But you are making some modifications, and therefore there's the request for the variance?
Yes.
Okay.
And may I add, for this particular area, the 18-foot, that is achieved by going to a compact space to lessen. If we use the standard size space, that would be back to that 16.75.
But the 18 feet that's proposed there is actually wider than what is currently in that location on the site.
Yes.
And all of the kind of new drive aisle that you're creating from Lucy back to this new connection point does, in fact, meet all of the ordinance requirements.
Yes.
And have you run a traffic circulation plan to ensure that emergency vehicles would be able to circulate through the site safely?
Yes, we did.
Is that applicant's exhibit 4?
Yes.
Can you describe for us what we see on this exhibit?
So we have two. We have a pupper truck that one in the top enters through Lucy and then exits through Sipe, and then the other one is in the opposite direction. And then we also ran this, it's not shown, we also ran this on the existing site to try to get a pumper truck around the entire site, and it does not.
But that's not anything that you're changing, that's an existing condition.
Yep, that is an existing condition.
Okay. Based on this information, do you believe that emergency vehicles will be able to safely navigate and circulate the property or enter and exit the property with the development as proposed?
Absolutely.
And we've requested two other dimensional variances, and they're related. One is maximum impervious coverage, and the other one is minimum vegetative coverage. And as I think you testified to before, the lot is currently 79% impervious, and how much did you say, 22% vegetative, or was it
21%?
21% vegetative. Okay. So if Lot 2 were somehow able to be developed on its own, it would be allowed to have 60% impervious coverage.
Yes.
Is that correct? So in developing this site, did you look at that 60% square footage, what that would be for lot two?
Yes.
And did you look at then what you currently have non-conforming on lot one?
Yes.
And is what is being proposed here less than that?
Yes.
What is the overall percentage of impervious coverage that is now proposed?
It would be 78%.
Okay, so a small reduction from 79% to 78%. Mm-hmm. And then looking again at the minimum vegetative coverage, did you look at what that minimum vegetative coverage requirement was for lot two?
Yes.
And what it currently is on lot one?
Yes.
And are we meeting or exceeding that number?
We are exceeding that number.
Okay. And is that an increase, a slight increase in minimum vegetative cover from 21% to 22%?
Yes.
Okay. And in general, we're talking about also landscaping and vegetative cover. You mentioned that the lot one currently really doesn't have any interior parking lot landscaping. Are you proposing all kind of required parking lot landscaping in the new redeveloped portion of the site?
Yes, to achieve the minimum vegetated cover, we're actually, these areas here are currently striped. We'll be removing them, curbing some of them, and then placing landscaping.
So with the exception of the three dimensional variances requested from the board tonight, does this development meet all other zoning requirements?
After an extensive staff review, yes, it is to our knowledge.
Okay, so I want to talk about parking. You mentioned previously that the site is currently non-conforming as to parking, requires 120 spaces, and it has 114. Can you generally explain for the board how we've arrived at the parking calculation for what is required and what we are providing?
Under the Derry Township Ordinance, as you guys probably know, you have a shared parking demand analysis that you can use, and that's how we arrived at the two uses using the peak hours of the two.
So you have 128 parking spaces that are required for the hotel,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
And one space for 200 square feet for the retail, so you need another 23 spaces if it weren't for the shared parking.
Yes.
But with the shared parking calculation under the ordinance, how many spaces are required?
137.
And how many are being provided?
137.
And you mentioned
138, sorry.
Okay. You mentioned previously that there is parking in the setback all over the site. It looks like some of the new spaces you're creating are also within the setback. Is that allowed as a less than 25% increase in dimensional nonconformity?
Yes, and I can expand upon that one as well. So currently within the existing setback, we are 7,367 square feet of existing parking in the setback. We are proposing 7,411. That is an increase of 44 square feet. But since we are modifying the parking here, we are still qualified under that variance. So we're modifying seven spaces, but we're only really adding 44 square feet of additional parking within the setback.
And does anything that you're changing meet, other than that parking issue, which is allowed as that expansion of dimensional nonconformity, are all the other setbacks being met?
Yes.
And do you have the required lot width for the property for this development?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that there are unique physical circumstances or conditions of this property that have created an unnecessary hardship?
Can you repeat that one?
And do you believe that there are unique physical circumstances or conditions of this property that have resulted in an unnecessary hardship?
No.
You don't think that there's unique circumstances?
Yes, sorry, sorry.
Gosh, I hate that when my witness doesn't answer the right way.
Sorry about that.
Because of these unique physical circumstances, do you believe these dimensional variances are necessary to make reasonable use of these properties.
Absolutely.
And do you believe that this redevelopment of this site will in fact allow for reasonable, complete use of the properties that is complementary to the existing hotel use?
Yes, and also the neighborhood as well.
And in what way do you believe that this retail use would be complementary to the existing hotel use?
It'll allow for, you know, if you stay at the hotel, you'll be able to go to the retail. Hopefully that the retail will become something that is advantageous to the existing hotel.
And is it true that hotels and retail uses have differing peak hours for customers and traffic?
Yes.
And in that way, then, they are also complementary, which is what results really in some of the shared parking efficiencies.
Yes.
Were any hardships here created by the property owner or the applicant?
No.
And do you believe these variances, if authorized, will alter the essential character of the neighborhood or be detrimental in any way to adjacent properties?
No.
And again, looking back at the aerial exhibit and your knowledge of the commercial area in the vicinity of this property, do you believe that what would be done here is significantly different in any way than many of those other existing commercial uses?
No.
There is an adjacent dwelling, is that correct?
Yes.
Can you point that out? Does the ordinance require buffering in that location?
Yes.
And significant buffering would be provided?
Yes, here along.
Okay. In your professional opinion, do you believe that these are the minimum variances that will allow for the reasonable redevelopment of this portion of the property?
Yes.
And again, I think you alluded to the fact, have you been working with staff for some period of time to continue to reduce the number of variances and reduce the amount of the requested variances?
I think this is sketch plan 10.
Okay, great. Do you have anything else that you would like to add for the board?
No.
Thank you. We are happy to answer any questions that the board has, and look forward to any input you might have.
Lot two. Is that owned by the applicant?
Yes.
Aren't there 24 existing parking spaces in lot two?
No, actually. So lot two is here, and it's a wooded lot. It's kind of scrubbish, scrub brush. The existing parking is here.
Yeah, that right there.
Yeah, so this is one lot.
Okay, well, aren't you pretty much getting rid of those 24 spaces for the retail space?
But we're replacing them on our retail.
So you are so there are the 114 includes those 24?
Yes.
So you're getting rid of the 24, which is 90, and then you're adding 48?
Yes.
48?
Yes.
Yeah, I had the same question, Bill. Where are those 48 newly created spots? Because I was having trouble visualizing this.
So we have, a lot of it comes from the compact spaces. So we have compact spaces here, here, and then we're realigning the parking area here, and then also adding them here, and then here as well.
How many compact spaces? Is that accurate?
We have 13 compact spaces, which is within the ordinance allowed number based on the number of parking spaces.
And again, the reason for those compact spaces were to address the width issue and the traffic, the through traffic.
It was a double-edged sword. So utilizing this area as compact spaces, we were able to expand the drive aisle and then also pick up additional spaces.
It seems to me you have a lot of compact spaces in one region of the development, and I unfortunately do not drive a compact vehicle, and I find it oftentimes when the use of compact spaces is all combined in one area, difficult to find parking spots. Would it be reasonable at all, I know as a developer you hate to hear this, to take the building from 50 feet wide to 44 feet wide to give you the 2 extra feet on each one of the compact spaces to spread them out to full-size spaces?
So It's kind of a double-edged sword there, because then we're running up against minimal vegetated cover.
Yeah, we would be asking for greater impervious coverage and less, because one of the things that we also gain with compact spaces is we're able to put some vegetative cover then in between those parking spaces. We also did locate the parking spaces really such that they are not really adjacent to the retail building. So the closest spaces to the retail building remain the full size, and there's a lot of full size spaces that are pretty accessible to the hotel as well. So
So these are full size spaces. These ones are full size spaces. These four are compact, mm-hmm. and then these nine are compact.
So a total of 13 compact?
Yes.
Okay. And you anticipate people using the parking in the newly created lot two or whatever it is? And will those folks be staying at the hotel, or was that going to be primarily used for their retail purposes?
That's where the peak hours come into it. So the peak hour for a hotel is different than the retail. So it allows for that reduced number.
It is definitely a 100% shared parking throughout the site. It is all under common ownership and provided and developed to allow for that shared parking.
Another thing as well, you know, we went through a significant staff review with Chuck, and a lot of this parking wishbone here, it was a lot different at one point before we actually did not have this vegetated area here, you know, to work our way through it. That came up and to start reducing variances and make this thing possible.
David, did you, it's just, maybe it's my own optical illusion and I'll assume that it is. Glancing at it, I don't see how there's 48 put in there, but I'm assuming you counted them. I did not. When I look at the glance and I'd see the 24 disappeared and how we're putting 48 back in there, I don't see it, but I'll go by anybody's word who counted it.
Do you want to point them out with your laser pointer, where the vast majority
of... Are you taking advantage of adding the extra bike racks for additional space?
Yes, we are.
So you're okay. Allowed to add an additional, for each additional bike parking space you provide, you are given 0.25 of a parking space, up to two additional spaces. They can't add 30 bike parking spaces and get.
Did you end up putting them
so out? It's.
That was just
a question for the applicant, because that's that would help explain why it does look so.
Yeah. We did not. I apologize. We talked with staff about the possibility of doing that, but we did not add the bike parking spaces. It is strictly 138 parking spaces on the light. And if I may, maybe Mitch can add to this. What we've done is through reconfiguring, restriping, and some modifications, we've been able to make a better utilization of the space that is there and thereby increase the parking spaces that were on site. The way it was laid out was underutilized. And so with this, as Mitch can show you here again, we're restriping some of the existing spaces and kind of modifying spaces. That's part of the way that they're gaining the increase in number of spaces on the lot.
So 40. So I'm not.
No, you're not
going nuts. There's not 48 spaces added. There's restriping, narrowing, shortening of existing parking spaces, and there's not 48 there after taking away the 24.
No. We have 138 parking spaces, and there were 114. So now, some of it is existing parking spaces that are being modified to turn 4 into 5 or something. I'm a layperson, not an engineer, so I sometimes mistake that. That's my layperson speak for what is being done. It basically increasing the efficiencies. Yes, show that. That's a really good place to show that up there along the hotel where we're gaining parking spaces.
So we have this area is one that we are restriping. Here's another area. So there's six, if you can actually see. So there's 1, 2, 3 striped island. Mm. So there's three spaces, and that's three spaces making up for six, seven between these two areas. So just by reconfiguring, squaring things off, restriping, using compact spaces.
So seven and then 13 gets you 20.
Yep.
And the other 28 are coming from the restriping.
This is a big math exercise on this one.
Yeah, I mean, are you restriping throughout the entire?
No.
Because I'm with Bill. I'm not seeing it, but.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as there's 138.
Okay, yeah, so but.
Right in here is one place where we go, and right now there's three spaces. We're going to end up with, it's either seven or eight.
Mm-hmm.
This is another location right down here. You'll see there's a lot of, because they have this kind of little drive aisle that comes over into the parking lot, we're actually filling in parking spaces in this location here as well, picking up some spaces here.
So there's four, say?
It's more than four. It's seven.
Okay.
Seven here. There's four and another, no, it's 31. Six. Six.
33.
Another five or six here. And then these over in here as well.
Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It does play, it really does play eye tricks on you. And then again, that's also by, we're doing a swap for this appendix here.
I turned it off.
That allows for that impervious coverage as well. We're just moving stuff around.
So in summary, you're saying by combining the lots, you're decreasing the impervious coverage by a percent,
mm-hmm.
increasing the vegetative coverage by
a percent,
and then you're bringing the parking spaces into conformity.
Yes.
Correct.
That's kind of the summary of your story, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Well, to clarify, you're increasing impervious coverage, but by virtue of combining the lots,
right,
the percentage decreases by one.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, it really, we're making use of that lot, which can't really be used by on its own, and as part of that redevelopment, hopefully making it all overall into a better lot and a more better utilized lot, more parking, access from both streets for better circulation for emergency vehicles, and overall percentages kind of shifting a little bit.
When when people exit on Lucy,
mm-hmm.
Which way do you anticipate them turning? Right, left, turning towards the Planet Fitness Plaza, or and taking that back?
Yeah, they this way out onto West Chocolate.
Well, okay, that's yeah.
And how is that access is aligned? Is it looks like there's a drive on the.
It is lined best we could with the property lines.
No, I'm saying there looks like there's a drive, driveway coming out on the other side. Is that the funeral home?
Oh, right here. This right here?
Oh, that's a road there.
Yeah, it's a road.
Okay.
Yeah, the funeral home drive is like over here.
I can't see where you're pointing.
Right.
Yeah, okay, closer to Chocolate Avenue, 422. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. That's better, thank you.
David, did we confirm when the impervious was done that they handled the pool in accordance with current ordinance for impervious calculating a pool?
Yes.
Thank you.
Other questions down here?
I actually do have one question, just to clarify the number of spots again after the development. For lot one and lot two, what does that come out to? Is it
138.
But for each lot, for lot one?
So they're going to be combined
okay.
into one lot. So it will be 138 spaces on the combined lot.
Lot one doesn't have any parking. So lot one, this is lot one. If you
no,
go to the
two.
Lot two. So if you go to the existing condition plan. Lot two is an undeveloped site, so there's on lot one there's 114 spaces.
So when right. When the lots are combined, and that's your intention is to combine the lots into one new parcel.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And 138 spots are required with the shared usage calculation, and 138 are being provided.
Yes.
despite the fact that Bill and I can't see it. Must be the engineers and us.
Yeah, 137 are required, and we would be providing 138.
I'm not going to count them. I'm going to leave that to staff to do.
There are 138 spots. Plus, again, they can get the extra spaces through.
But they're not.
Joe, do you have other questions?
No. I have a question. Is the proposed commercial space leased already, or is it not? Nothing.
Not at this time.
So how does it affect, forgive me, I'm not fully aware of the peak shared hours of commercial and resident and the hotel. If it's a business that does a fair amount of business in the evening, the same time that the hotel guests are coming back from Hershey Park, how does this going to affect the overflow of demand?
We're going to be constrained by the retail designation under the shared parking portion of the ordinance for tenants in that site. We can't put a restaurant in there, for example. We can't ever meet the parking requirements for a restaurant. So we're going to be constrained by those parking requirements in the ordinance in the tenants that can go into that building.
9-to-5 type tenants.
Right.
All right, thank you.
Dave, Bill, any other questions? Okay, so just so we're, make sure we're clear on what you're asking for in terms of variances. So you're asking for a variance for the impervious, even though it's 1% less than what the current site is, it's still non-compliant with the 60%, right? So you're asking for a variance for that.
Correct.
Likewise, for the vegetative cover, which is 30% required, you're asking for a variance to allow 22%.
Correct.
Okay. You're also asking for a variance for the drive width, access width, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Is there anything else?
No.
Is that everything?
That's it.
Okay. I want to make sure you have.
I do.
I think it was in the application, but I just
yeah,
a lot of discussion here. Okay. All right. Very good. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak and testify in this case? Okay. Seeing none. Again, the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. Okay. Great. Thank you for your testimony.
Sure. Thank you thank this you. Evening. Coming out on this cold night.
Okay. Next hearing is, let me just check in with the board. Everybody okay to just keep plowing through here? Okay, good. Hearing in the case of Copenhaver Builders LLC, case number 2023-21.
Hello, I'm Nevin Copenhaver, Copenhaver Builders.
And I'm Nate Wanger with Copenhaver Builders, and we're here representing Nick and Kelly Steyer, the residents from 272 Elm Avenue.
Nevin Copenhaver.
And Nate Wanger, W-E-N-G-E-R. Yes. Thank you for your time this evening. So we're seeking a special exception regarding the expansion of a non-conforming structure. Nick and Kelly purchased this property, residential property at 272 Elm Avenue last year. And we actually already did an interior renovation on the property along with a minor exterior. Well, we did a facelift on the home, but we added a front porch. We did not add any significant floor area to the structure. Nick and Kelly had moved from York area, and they had always planned to kind of do a two-phase project here. And you know, they had wanted to keep the existing structure and not consider a teardown. And so Phase one is complete and ready to go, and I actually have a few photos that I can share with you of the completed. What we ran into to add the phase two addition, which would be out the back of the home, there you go, that's fairly current, so it's new siding and some painted brick. David, are you able to flip back between the previous image and the new? There is one thing I wanted to point out. The previous use of this residential home, I believe it was the immediate previous owner, elderly person, it was a medical office, possibly dentist. Notice the roof that overhangs on that far side? That's the area that's non-conforming. That extends into the setback onto Valley Road. So we actually removed that fairly awkward roof overhang and the concrete steps and sidewalk that approaches that side of the home. So we improved the non-conforming aspect during the first renovation, mostly for aesthetic purposes, but it does contribute to improving that condition. There is one, I know that we don't necessarily need to prove any hardship. Are you able to see the back alley there from street view at all? Yes. So if you notice, that's a great photo right there. Notice that currently there is a sunroom on the back of the house, a screened-in porch with a garage underneath. And you notice the grade that actually that the entrance to the garage door sits lower than the alleyway and the adjacent street. So there is some type of grate drain that's presumably a French drain. There's no way that it could run to grade that is to collect water, but it does not perform well. And there are issues with water entering the home because of that grade issue. So our new proposed addition would remove that current back screen porch patio and do a larger addition to increase living space within the home and also solve the problems with the driveway and provide a nicer garage. So if I'm not mistaken, we're required for the special exemption because we're adding over 25% more floor area. We're allowed to add up to 50 to get and still be approved by special exception. We're at 39.1, I believe, is according to David's calculations, what we're proposing to add. Do you also have, David, the pictures of what we're proposing the addition to look like, 3D images? We scroll down one more. Yeah, so that gives you an idea of what we're proposing on the property. I don't have a fancy laser pointer with me, but the covered patio and, so the back of the two-story structure is existing, and everything that David's kind of highlighting there is all proposed new. Let's see if I have anything else. We are not. Do you have a site plan image there you can show? So it would have been. So we are seeking a stormwater approval. That would be the stormwater plan part of our submission. So we are in the process of receiving a stormwater approval for the addition. There is a site plan that I'll show you. We are not making the non-conforming aspect any worse in what we're proposing. We're the reason we're here is because part of the existing structure extends into the side setback by Valley. We're not adding anything to that area. We've already actually improved it through the previous renovation.
So just to say it another way, or clarify that this is what you mean, none of what's being added will encroach on that setback off of Valley?
That's 100% correct. That's right. So this image will help quite a bit once it comes. If you just want to zoom in.
I download because trying to work the web app doesn't always go well.
I appreciate that.
David, can I ask you a question while you're letting that load?
Yep.
So as far as the square footage of expansion versus the square footage of the existing house. Correct me if I'm wrong, or can you just clarify what counts towards that square footage and what doesn't? I believe like the garage does not. Is that right?
Correct. So we did include the definition up here just because floor area, Chuck and I had a lengthy conversation today regarding floor area and how it's changed over the years. Since Pennsylvania adopted the ICC and the UCC building codes, BOCA has gone by the wayside. BOCA would have required any addition in the basement, any renovation at all to be permitted. With ICC, we do not regulate an in-home renovation that is under a certain dollar amount or doesn't move supporting walls. So it became very hard to regulate what's finished basement, what's not finished basement, what's living area, what isn't, because we don't have the ability to be in people's homes. So the definition says the most important part of this when looking at the basement is, and floor areas of floor which are located at least 50% below finished grade, which are used for accessory uses. So in our head, when we were looking at this property in particular, we counted the whole basement as floor area for the property, for the parcel, because it is part of the single family use. It isn't an accessory use to the single family home. It's just a portion of the home. And without these plans, we'd have no idea if that basement was finished after the original house was built. That's why that is included in the floor area calculation.
Of the existing floor area?
Yes. Said.
Okay.
Yep.
But as far as the floor area being added, is it correct that the garage square footage is not floor area in that?
Correct.
In terms of the expansion. So in other words, they could add the garage without coming here for a?
Yes, absolutely.
Special exception.
So another portion of it states that floor areas devoted to automobile parking, not retail sales areas, are also not included in the floor area calculation, just as staircases, elevator shafts.
Right. So reconfiguring that garage and or expanding that garage to a two-car garage or whatever would not require action by this board. It's the additional living area that's part of this project that is triggering the requirement for the special exception?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we if you want to pull up that site plan, so the intent is to have the home fit in with the neighborhood and not detract. Actually, if you want to, well, that's the existing, so you can see that. See, but this show you a little bit better. So the grayed out area there is the new proposed, along with the driveway onto the alley, which I guess is 8th Street. But if you want to hover over the area that is not conforming there, David, so that's the portion of the existing that is kind of triggering this presentation, because that portion of the home is non-conforming.
And were it not for that non-conformity, you would not be here, correct? Because you would meet all the requirements.
We meet all the requirements aside from stormwater, which we're addressing.
Okay. And also, is it fair to say that the footprint that's in gray here encompasses that garage, existing garage and back porch area that you showed us earlier in the photo?
Okay. It does. And David, if you want to hover back over to the other, you can see the existing garage.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is being removed.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Other questions? Anybody? All right, anyone from the public that wishes to speak on this case? Okay, hearing none, the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any other business? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second? Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
The board will adjourn to deliberate in these three cases. Thank you.